For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
What is up and welcome to the Red and Bold Show. I am one of your hosts, Mark Adams of 49ers Camelot, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Robertson of 49ers Cutback. We're thrilled that you've joined us. Ant, how's it going, my friend?
It's going well. Mini camp is here, and there was a tremendous amount of news that came out yesterday from Christian McCaffrey's, you know, blockbuster extension to the conversations about, you know, other players showing up, not showing up. We got a lot of updates that I think we were all wondering as we were going through OTAs in the offseason, and we've kind of gotten a lot of information. It's been fun, and I think this is kind of that last bit before we get ramped up for the offseason and then to training camp. So I'm kind of hanging on every single moment of mini camp right now, getting every ounce of football, because I know there's going to be some drier days ahead of us, as there's not going to be a lot of new information until training camp. But our last obstacle until training camp is these 40 days off where the 49ers go and do their own thing.
Yeah, it is always a brutal time when you look at that month and a half or so in between the June mini camp and the beginning of training camp. Unless you're talking Jim Harbaugh's teams, there were usually arrests during those times. And I remember back in those days, it was kind of a situation of, we didn't like when the 49ers went away because that meant bad things might be happening, whether it was Alden Smith or Ahmad Brooks or whoever, Ray McDonald. It always seemed to happen when the 49ers weren't together. Although Alden Smith, he had his moments even when the team was together. But yeah, other than those days, pretty boring during that little dry stretch. But hey, as long as everybody's healthy and stays out of trouble, I guess we can deal with that until training camp. So welcome everybody to the Red and Bold Show. Please take a moment to like and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. We would appreciate that.
If you're listening on audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe, which is available on all audio platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or just unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here.
Josh is in the chat. He said, now go extend some defensive players, please. Yeah, we'd love to see that. Who would you like to see extended next? Anybody on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as far as defense goes, Kyle Shanahan was asked about it yesterday in his presser, and he kind of alluded to the fact that D'Amore Lenore and Mooney Ward are two that are at the forefront of their minds to be extended. And I think that's where it starts. Those two guys make a lot of sense for the 49ers. Those are all, I know Mooney Ward's coming off a core muscle injury, but they're also two of the healthier guys that are on your team. When you're talking Dre Greenlaw and Talanoa Hufanga, Hufanga's talking about being ready for week one, not even be ready for training camp. And when it comes to Dre Greenlaw, we don't know when he's going to be ready. So extensions for them will be a little bit more difficult. But I think Mooney Ward and D'Amore Lenore, you should strike while the iron's hot, because if all the wide receiver money's going up, you're going to bet that at some point the cornerback money's going to go up and be able to pace it. Whatever offensive tackle money goes up, defensive end money goes up. So it's just a cause and effect. And so the 49ers could get D'Amore Lenore under contract and Tarvarius Ward under contract before it really goes through the roof. So I think those two would be kind of nice for the 49ers to get done over the next 40 days. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I did hear Hufanga say that his plan is to be ready by week one, and he hopes to be able to practice some during training camp as well. So hopefully that can happen so that he can get ready for the season. I wonder if they'll try to extend him or re-sign him, especially considering that they have Malik Mustafa and Jair Brown. That's going to be interesting because, you know, do you keep three young safeties like that? It's going to be fun to see what they do, but definitely D'Amore Lenore for sure. I'm not sure they're going to be able to keep Lenore and Mooney Ward, but hopefully they can, because that would be great. Those guys do a great job. So let's hop in and see what all we can talk about here today. So the 49ers did sign Christian McCaffrey to a new deal. It actually adds 2 years to his contract. Not sure if he'll play all four of the next years, but I would imagine that he will, but we'll have to see how healthy he stays. But so he's going to be in San Francisco through 2027. How huge is it for the team to have Christian McCaffrey for another four seasons?
Well, I think it ensures that Brock Purdy is going to have a weapon that he's going to be able to consistently use. And McCaffrey's effect in the run game and in the passing game is unmatched in the NFL. So you're locking up one of the number one offensive playmakers in the entire league, and for sure the number one running back. And you got to make sure, if you're going to have Brock Purdy leading this team, that you have weapons around him to consistently help, you know, this team continue to be better on offense. And I think McCaffrey is a good reason why, but I think it also shows that the team rewards guys, you come in and do things the right way. You come in every single day, you put forth your effort and you work, and you're going to get paid. And unfortunately, you can't afford to pay everyone. But if you're going to be a big instant impact on this team, and then you're going to carry the culture into the next generation, then they're going to make you a part of the team. And I think getting it done for 4 years, it rewarded McCaffrey for what he's done, but also set them up so they have a affordable, because I know it's the number one running back contract, but guess what? Numbers go through the roof, especially with the new TV deals and with Netflix getting involved, potentially 18-game seasons, so much more that's going to go into these contracts eventually. So I think it was smart to get it done, make McCaffrey happy, make the 49ers happy. And now the 49ers got one of the best weapons in the NFL locked up through 2027.
Yeah, it's exciting to see. And Josh asked, wasn't the deal backloaded with a big bonus this season? I actually haven't heard
Yeah.
How that came out, but
they're saving money this season. They're going to save close to $7 million off what his original deal was, the $12 million. And so they've actually freed up more cap space right now. That means they have the ability to sign other players. Of course, you always need $5 to $7 million for in-season costs for signings or whatever you have to do. But it also allows the 49ers, if they want to roll over more cap next year. So they're doing a good job taking care of paperwork and making sure they can push money down the line. It did, I believe, we haven't heard confirmed yet, but I think they're going to add a max another year of void year to the contract and spread that money out a little bit more. So I think he's going to end up hitting the cap for a little over $4.5 million this year, which is tremendous considering he was coming in at 12.
So Luke Luna said, why was I the first like? I just got here. Just saying. Yeah, thanks, Luke, for that. We appreciate that. Everybody else, do what Luke is doing and give us a like here and make sure you give us a follow. Bebop Jones is in the house. What's up, Bebop? Let's see. They should extend Demo. Talking about Diomedor Lenore. Yeah, that's. I'd love to see Lenore re-signed for more seasons. I think that he's turned into a really good one. I mean, we go back to his rookie season where he didn't play because Ambry Thomas was playing. And I'm not really sure why, because he started off like that rookie mini camp where he was looking so good. And then all of a sudden, the next thing we know, Ambry Thomas is playing. But there's no comparison between those two.
No, I don't think now. I think once Demo sophomore season happened, and it was funny because even his sophomore season, the initial start of it, he still wasn't getting into that lineup. It took Samuel Womack's misstep and being a solid nickel corner to get Diomedor Lenore on the field. But once he got his opportunity, he absolutely seized it. He played great at nickel. And then once Emmanuel Moseley got injured, he stepped right in and he never looked back. And that's what you have to do. You have to make sure that when you're a gamer like Diomedor Lenore is and you have your opportunity, you go out there and you make plays. And he did. And now we're looking at a situation where we got a good football player that's more than just a good corner, but a good football player because he can adjust to multiple positions. I think the 49ers hit another fifth round gem with Diomedor Lenore. And now sky is the limit for how good this guy could actually be, because he's a guy who had opportunities for more interceptions last year and he kind of left them out on the field. But this, he could have easily had 5 interceptions, been a Pro Bowler. He could have changed everything. So he's that close to being a really significant player in this league. 49ers need to make sure they lock him up. Even if something happened and Mooney Ward moved on and you had Diomedor Lenore and Renardo Green, I know we're putting a lot on Renardo Green, but all the compliments about him and just what we've seen, we might be okay at the cornerback position moving forward. And 49ers have been struggling to hit on young players, but Demo's one of them they hit on.
Yeah, for sure. I thought it was funny here to see our friend Jim Everett the Great in here. He said that he was the second one to hit the like button. So thanks for that, Jim Everett the Great. And I hate to do this to you, but Josh said Jim Everett sucks. So appreciate that. always fun to see the banter in between the 49ers fans and the Rams fans. And David Campbell saying, Demo, strap him up, Lenore. Yeah, man. Demo, he doesn't like some of those comments that his former teammate Willie Snead has been making, but that's all right. So my next thing is that the 49ers signed tight end Logan Thomas. He had 55 catches last season for Washington. I think this is a great signing. Could he be that tight end two that the 49ers have been searching for?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Kyle Shanahan said they were bringing him in to compete because I don't think he's here to compete. I think he's going to be tight end two. I like the sentiment that you want everyone in that tight end room to compete. And there's some young tight ends that they've drafted or brought in that's what they're there for. But this was a absolutely knock down, drag out, great signing for the 49ers because they have been looking for this guy. They went out and they got Jordan Reed in 2020. You know, they brought in Tyler Croft. They've brought in Mecole Pruitt. It just has never worked out for the 49ers to get tied into that can do both. They had Ross Dwelly. Ross Dwelly was a solid receiver in 2019 and 2020, but struggled a little bit when it came to blocking, more so in 2020. He started falling off. Didn't have a dual threat at tight end behind Kittle. Then next thing you know, they're bringing in other guys like Charlie Warner, hoping that he's a great blocker with a receiving upside. No receiving upside. Three catches for 32 yards last season. They need a bona fide guy behind George Kittle that can step in when Kittle needs breaks, when Kittle misses the inevitable couple of games during the season when he gets beat up because of his physicality when he plays. And now you've got a legitimate guy that can do it. Started a lot of games in this league. Like you said, 55 catches, 496 yards, and four touchdowns, red zone threat. Now when you get into the red zone and you go two tight ends, guess what? Both guys can win and catch the football. You want to bring both those guys in. The defense wants to go heavy to stop Christian McCaffrey. Next thing you know, you're splitting one of those guys out, and it happens to be that you got Logan, who's over there at, 6 foot six, and he's going out wide to catch the football. To me, this is a great move for the 49ers, and I think they do have tight end two. And now the real competition is for tight end three and making this roster. And Cameron Latu and Braden Willis are sitting there like, uh-oh, we better do something or we're going to be on another football team.
Yeah, and that's a great segue to Cam Latu, because this doesn't make his quest to join or to make the team any easier. If Latu doesn't make the team, that means the 49ers' top three picks from 2023 are Jair Brown, a kicker, and a player that's not even on the team. That seems bad. Now I'm getting ahead of myself, but if that happens and Cam Latu doesn't make the team, that's pretty bad to have your top three picks be a kicker, a guy who's not on the team, and Jair Brown, who looks like he's going to be a keeper.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Yeah, I mean, Jair Brown's a starter. So you got an NFL starter out of one of those picks for sure. And then with Moody, I mean, everyone can argue they don't like where he was picked, but actually he had a pretty good rookie season last year. And if he develops into the solid kicker that the 49ers are hoping that he's going to be, that might end up being a pick that even though we don't like where it happened, we're okay with it. Now, when it comes to Cameron Latu, they knew exactly what they were getting themselves into. A guy with a tremendous amount of upside, but he was changing positions. He played defensive end at Alabama and had to change positions to tight end there. And I know he was successful, but the simplicity of a college offense compared to the complexities of Kyle Shanahan's offense are definitely a lot different. So they went and they talked to Steve Sarkisian, the head coach of Texas. He was offensive coordinator at Alabama. He knew about this adjustment for Cameron Latu. They felt that he was going to be able to develop. And Kyle Shanahan said yesterday in his presser that Cameron Latu, they wish he would have had the whole season because they believed he could have gotten better during that season. Braden Willis did. So Latu's behind the eight ball. He's got to figure it out. But he's still 6'5". He's still 250. He's still athletic. And as long as now he's no longer underwater as far as the picking up this offense, he should put on a better showing at training camp. I don't know if he's going to make the team, but I think he's still got a legitimate shot to make the team, and he's still got the most upside of all the other tight ends that are on the roster, not named George Kittle.
Yeah, I'm hoping that that somehow he can make the team. Lou said, Ant, I'm confused about guaranteed and fully guaranteed contracts. Is that what's holding up the Brandon Ayuk extension?
Yeah, the contract thing is more and more interesting all the time and confusing because there are guarantees and then there's fully guarantees. And so I'm sure it is when it comes to fully guaranteed money, because a lot of times you look at the overall guaranteed money for a contract and that's not the fully guaranteed money. So I'm sure that Brandon Ayuk is trying to get as much guaranteed money, fully guaranteed money as he can. And the 49ers are trying to build a contract that gives them the most flexibility where they can still give him guaranteed money, but not hinder themselves if they need to get out of that contract at some point. This is what Parag Marathi does better than probably anyone in the entire league, is build safeguards into these contracts, especially the longer ones, so that way he can get out and the 49ers can keep as much money and not have dead money after that move. So they want to make sure Ayuk is happy. Ayuk wants to be happy. It's just finding the happy medium. And sometimes you just have to wait it out. At some point, somebody's going to give in. When a timetable, finally, you get to an end, it'll finally come to a point where they make a move. But right now, I think they're at a standstill, and I think this is going to be at a standstill probably until training camp starts and maybe even into some of training camp.
So Justin Jefferson just set a new record for non-quarterback money, breaking Nick Bosa's almost one-year-old record. Ayuk's not going to get what Justin Jefferson is getting, and he shouldn't get that. But is there a dollar amount that if Ayuk says, I want this, whether that's 28 or 30 or whatever, is there an amount that you say, nope, you're going to be playing on your fifth year, and we see what happens this time next year?
I think it's a puzzle, and you're trying to put together a puzzle of how you can keep every single player that you want to keep and still know that you're going to have to give Brock Purdy a significant contract in the future. And so as you remove contracts, you're also having to figure out the amount other contracts are going to be, while also trying to figure out the projected salary cap going down the road. And we know it's going to continue to jump. Now that Netflix is getting involved, there's going to be a lot of money when it comes to NFL, you know, television rights. It's going to go up. It's just the way it's going to be. Because when it comes down to it, Netflix is a home run hitter when it comes to this. I mean, a lot of people probably don't know about this, but WWE for Monday Night Raw got a 10-year deal worth $5 billion just to put that on there. That just shows how much of a heavy hitter it is with Netflix. So I think money is going to go through the roof, but there's always got to be a cap. And we know that John Lynch and the front office, they put a number on these players. I'm guessing that the number is probably somewhere between 27 and 30. And I think Jalen Waddle getting $28 million, the 49ers will probably have to go a little bit over that. But I think they can look at Brandon Ayuk in the eye and say, you're not better than Tyreek Hill. And they won't say that, of course, but you're not better than Tyreek Hill. You're not better than Justin Jefferson. This is kind of where your market is, $28 million. And I think something around there, $28, $29 million is probably the comfort that they're probably going with. But you start getting above $30 million, and I think it would be too rich. And they just say, hey, fifth-year option, you play on that. We might franchise you next year. I think it just gets a little bit more interesting as you get to 30 million.
Mr. Corey said, I love Ayuk, was saying he was better than Debo even before Debo's all pro year, but I'm not paying him $30 million a year. I can't argue with that. I mean, to think about paying Ayuk, now I realize that the cap is the cap and there's ways to manipulate it, but man, that seems awful high to me.
Yeah, and if you look at the total money now for wide receivers, Debo Samuel's not even in the top 10 wide receivers being paid. Everyone wanting to get him off the football team. Well, you're not even paying two of the top, 10 wide receivers if you pay Ayuk. Money for wide receivers is going through the roof. It's one of those things. You see positions as they continue to grow, and wide receiver is one of those. I think the question that everyone has to ask is, Brandon Ayuk, a bona fide number one wide receiver, is he bona fide top five wide receiver in this league? If you believe he is, you're willing to pay that $30 million because that's what the market says he should get. If he's not a top five wide receiver, then no, you stick to your guns and you don't overpay for a player. But that means that you're only going to have limited access to that player for one more season, potentially two if you franchise him. So it's decisions to be made. But we're seeing other teams paying wide receivers, two top wide receivers in the top five at their position, A.J. Brown, Devontae, and then you've got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle both getting their money. So there's a lot of money going to wide receivers. 49ers could definitely afford it if they wanted to.
So is he a top five? I mean, who's better, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill?
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, is CeeDee Lamb better than Ayuk? Certainly. I mean, when you factor in the blocking, but with Dallas's offense, I don't really know that Lamb has a block that much, but can you name five who are better?
Yeah, I think the five you name potentially. I think he's sitting there pretty comfortably from 5 to 10. I think there's an argument anywhere for that. I think the guys we named above are better than him. I do think his numbers would probably be higher if he was in a pass first offense. So if you put him in CeeDee Lamb's place, I think he would have better numbers. But he's still a very significant wide receiver in this league. I just think when I think of a bona fide number one wide receiver, I'm thinking about a guy that goes out there and he's going to win. I need a big catch. I need a big play. Hey, it's Jerry Rice that's going to get the ball. Hey, it's Randy Moss. Hey, it's Terrell Owens. It's A.J. Brown. I think that those guys are just different. And that's why I think that there is something special about Brandon Ayuk. I think he is a top 10 wide receiver, but I think where you categorize him is definitely out of the top five.
Yeah, when it comes to routes and just the way he runs, nobody's smoother. I mean, Rice was, of course, but Ayuk he looks like he's on skis when he runs. He's so smooth. What are the biggest things that have stuck out to you from mini camp so far?
I think the connection that's being reported about Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall, the fact that we're hearing that Pearsall's getting to where he's supposed to be and Purdy's feeling comfortable getting him the football. That early connection is going to be important because the truth is those two are going to be connected potentially the longest, depending on what happens with Ayuk's contract. I think we're all hoping Ayuk is going to be here and him and Pearsall will have that connection with Brock for the next 5 years. But building a solid connection is important. But I think also just hearing that Pearsall's getting to where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, that has been a problem for rookie wide receivers, which means if he can do that consistently, he can make an impact in year one compared to what others have done. That was one of the problems with Ayuk when he came in, was he had a problem getting from point A to point B. It didn't mean he didn't make people create separation. He wasn't able to run good routes, but he did a little bit too much and the timing was a little bit off. The fact Pearsall's not having that problem, I think, is really good news for the 49ers. And I love that connection moving forward, because I think even though they've made strides on defense to get better, this offense could be what runs this football team beyond the regular season and deep into a playoff run, because they have all the weapons you could possibly want on every single skill position. And that connection could be big if you have a player like Ayuk or Debo that's out for a game or even a few plays. Pearsall could come in and make something happen.
And that's really what we're used to as fans of the San Francisco 49ers, is an offense that drives the team. That's the way it was in the 80s and 90s. Yes, they had great defenses during that time. They didn't win any of those Super Bowls without a great defense, but they were known for their offensive stars. And so to have them get back to a level that we're used to seeing is great. Now, we don't want to go back to the Steve Mariucci days where they had a really good offense but a terrible defense. We don't want that. We don't really want to go back to the Harbaugh days when they had a great defense but kind of a, not very good offense. So where they're at right now is a really good place. And so, yeah, I'm glad that you brought up the Brock Purdy to Ricky Pearsall thing, because I mean, everybody's talking about that, that these two look like they've been playing together for a long time. And so, of course, we haven't heard about that kind of thing with Brock Purdy before, because last year he wasn't practicing. And two years ago, he was the fourth string quarterback at this point. Well, I guess third string, because Garoppolo didn't join the team till like right around training camp, right before, something like that. And so Purdy was number three at this point. So that's exciting to hear. Also continuing to hear good things about Renardo Green. Nick Sorensen talked about him today and talked about him glowingly. Jacob Cowing sounds like he's doing some really good things. So I like hearing about these rookies, because to me, this rookie class looks like they have the potential to shape up to be one of the best that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have drafted so far.
It could be. They've got the talent. The overall effect of what they're going to have on this football team is going to be felt 2, 3, 4 years down the road, when these guys are bona fide starters for this football team. And if they all end up, especially, the top four picks for the 49ers end up being starting football players, you'll look at this draft as a solid draft. Anytime you walk away with a draft like the 49ers had and you get three starters, it's a good draft. But if you could walk away with four, and that's Pearsall developing into what everyone believes he can be, but also what you're going to get from Renardo Green on defense, maybe early in his career as a nickel, maybe later in his career on the outside, as he continues to develop and we figure out what happens with Mooney Ward, that could be a cheap option to replace Mooney, use that money in other areas if he develops. And then you've got Dominic Pooney, who they see as an eventual starter at guard, and then Malik Mustafa could be the replacement for Talanoa Hufanga. So if they hit on all four of those, and that's not including bonuses like Jacob Cowing, you got to feel really good about it. But it's definitely a wait-and-see approach. I want to see what happens in training camp. Let's see what happens when we get pads on these guys. Let's see what happens when they get into preseason, because that's when it's going to be important. But ultimately, when we're going to find out who these guys actually are is when they lace them up against other football teams in the regular season. And as these guys grow, we're going to get to see them mature and become the players we hope they can be. But I would love to see this be one of those knock it out of the park drafts like Bill Walsh used to have all the time, where you end up with multiple starters that can now bridge the gap and make it so you don't have to rebuild, but you just reload through the draft and you continue the success moving forward. That would be great for the 49ers.
Yeah, Mr. Corey said, I don't want to see Hufanga replaced. Yeah, Hufanga's been really good. Now, last year wasn't his best season leading up to the injury. He missed a lot of tackles last year, and that just wasn't like him the year before. But one of these safeties, whether it's Mustafa, somebody's going to have to show that they're an upgrade over Hufanga, because you can't let a potential all-pro safety go. And I don't know if Hufanga deserved that all-pro. I mean, he had an all-pro season, but he kind of tailed off toward the end. And then last year, like I said, it wasn't his best season. Where are you at on him? I mean, if he comes back healthy and comes back to form and has a great season, then, man, they're going to have a tough decision to make. But I just don't know if he's going to come back and be that guy that he was 2 years ago.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think Hufanga's still got better instincts than almost any players on defense. I mean, Fred Warner's got those kind of instincts. And then Talanoa Hufanga, the guy just plays with his hair on fire. He brings a different attitude. He brings an intelligence to the defense. The guy's extremely smart, understands route concepts. And that's why he had such a huge impact early on in the 2022 season, was he was such a film study that he was recognizing concepts and formations and jumping them. And teams had to start trying to fool him, and then he had to play reactionary after that and play post-snap and not just pre-snap. But he's one of the best pre-snap players in the entire league as far as recognizing what he sees. I think Talanoa Hufanga was a huge impact on the 49ers, and I know that it didn't feel like he was playing as well as normal, but that defense got worse when Talanoa Hufanga wasn't playing. Yeah. And I think anytime you remove a player and your team gets worse, that shows the value of that player. So we don't know how good Hufanga is going to be, how quickly he's going to recover and be full speed. And he wasn't a player that had a lot of speed anyway, so it's mostly instincts. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping those instincts are still there, that veteran leadership is still there, because I do like Hufanga. Do I think they're trying to replace him? I think they're making sure, in case they can't bring Hufanga back for the contract that makes sense for this team in the future, or in case Hufanga is not the player that he was pre-injury, that they're prepared. But I think they ultimately always loved Hufanga and the attitude that he brings to this defense.
Yeah, the run defense especially took a hit after Hufanga went down. Mr. Corey said, remember Walsh's 86 draft? Yes, we do. That was one. If that wasn't the 49ers' greatest draft of all time, 1981 was when they drafted Ronnie Lott. They drafted three starting defensive backs in that draft. When 87, oh my gosh, 87 was or 86 was probably better. That's when they got Charles Haley. They got Don Griffin, Tim McIver. Who else did they get? I can't even think. I think they had maybe an offensive lineman, maybe a defensive lineman. They got some studs in that draft. So yeah, that one was great. Guy Haberman talked about the new kickoff rule. He was at practice on Tuesday, and he said that the 49ers were working on the new kickoff rule. And he said that the kicks were, instead of being like the normal kickoff, that they were more like squib kicks. And so it made him wonder, are the guys that are going to be back there returning kickoffs, are they going to be more punt return types? So he noted that Elijah Mitchell was back there, but he didn't look comfortable. missed a few. Ronnie Bell was back there. Debo was back there. McCaffrey was back there. And so I just want your thoughts on that, because he kind of thought this might benefit Ronnie Bell. What I remember about Ronnie Bell is not being able to field punts very well. And so I don't know that I want to go Ronnie Bell, but just wondering your thoughts on the new kickoff rule and how they might approach that, not only from a kicking standpoint, but from a receiving standpoint.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is, as a coach, I loved squib kicking. We squib kicked all the time because it would slow down returners being able to get their hands on the football. You could get some interesting bounces that not just bounce left or right, but bounce over the top of the returner's head. So it was a lot of fun if you could get a kicker that can do it. And so I think it adds an extra element to kickoff. I'm one of the few that I've heard that are really excited about this new kickoff rule, because I think it kind of, they had watered down kickoff and kickoff return in general and put it in a box where the best thing to do usually was just kick it out of the end zone and not worry about anything. Well, now it's going to be exciting. And Kyle Shanahan talked about this a little bit in his presser yesterday, that they were looking for guys that could handle all different types of kicks, because it's not just the squibs, but then it's the directional kicks that are going to go to the sideline, making sure they catch those. There's going to be little pop-up kicks, a lot of different elements to it. So having skilled guys back there that can receive the ball is important, but also because of the close proximity between the returner and the 10 guys that are in front of them that are going to be blocking, you also have to have a guy that's good at reading holes to be able to run the football. With less space, is it as dynamic to have a fast receiver or somebody that normally would return kicks? So they're going to go through all the elements, see who can handle the football, but I think it makes it a little bit more complicated. And in fact, I think we're going to see a variety of different return guys. I think with different kickers will present different obstacles. So as you're playing a team that handles it one way or the other, you might get a different returner. But I think they would love to find a guy that could handle it. Elijah Mitchell, Jordan Mason, one of those guys being able to handle, even an Isaac Grendo, would be really good for the 49ers, a guy who's used to finding a hole in some tight spaces with a lot of bodies around him. But they got to be able to secure the catch. We know that Jordan Mason has returned kicks a little bit for the 49ers. He was in the second lineup, but also Elijah Mitchell did some of that in college. So to me, those guys make the most sense, but I won't count out any of the receivers as well, as long as they can recover the football and are pretty good. Debo would be perfect. McCaffrey would be perfect, but I don't really want those guys handling that. I don't want them to get hurt.
Well, Haberman threw out he said the same thing. And he said that if this new kickoff rule is going to create more big plays, that maybe you give Debo or McCaffrey five less touches on offense and give them those touches on kickoff. So it's an interesting thing. We'll see what they do with that. Mr. Corey said that Scott McLuhan's 2007 draft was close to those Walsh drafts. Patrick Willis, Joe Staley, Ray McDonald, Delanie Walker, Terrell Brown, Deshaun Goldson. Yeah, that's a good one. You've got a Hall of Famer in there. You've got some really good key guys, key starters on those Harbaugh teams. Joe Staley, a legend, of course. So yeah, that was a great draft as well. And I want to get to Luke's question here. What do you guys think about caps on position while having team cap? Then the best players in each position cap out. Then the money starts elevating other positions and players. What do you think about that?
I've been arguing for a few years now that maybe potentially the league could look at having a quarterback-only salary cap, where you set a number for quarterbacks, and then if you want to have an elite starter, then you don't have as much money for your backup quarterbacks. If you want to kind of have a cheaper guy, then you can have better ones. Because I think the quarterback definitely makes salary cap things more interesting, and I think that one's going to consistently go through the roof. But I don't think the NFL wants to do that as far as the owners, because they don't want to have to pay $100 million to Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, so I think that would never quite work. But I think that would make the most sense. Then you could have the other players get the other caps. But I think it's interesting. I don't know if they're ever going to get to that. I think the collective bargaining agreement, the way the players go about it, they don't want to have set caps on some things. They want to continue to let this thing blow up. And The NFL owners just want to make as much money as they can. They're going to keep trying to hold the players down to the least amount that they can pay them, even though they're getting paid a significant amount of money. In contrast to what the owners are making, it's not really that much money. But I think as the as this goes up, it's going to get interesting at what positions are going to get the money. And at some point, certain positions, there's just going to be lesser and lesser talent if they're not making as much money. Just like you saw a lot of players that were adjusting from tight end to other positions or from wide receiver to tight end. They're trying to find the money when it's available.
I don't know if I asked you this in previous weeks. I looked back and couldn't find it, but which undrafted rookie free agent do you think has the best chance of making the final 53?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of names. I mean, some people think that it's going to be Mason Plein. I've heard other people saying it's going to be the big defensive tackle, Evan. I'm going blank on his last name.
Anderson,
there you go. I don't think any of them are going to make this roster. I think when you look at this roster top to bottom, I don't think there is a spot for a UDFA to make this team. I think that last year there was UDFAs that were able to sneak onto the roster. That happens sometimes. I don't see it with this roster. In fact, Fournier's going to get Logan Thomas, I think, eliminates Mason Plein's opportunity to even come close to making this team. Yeah. And I think that you just look at the depth of defensive tackle as well. I think it's going to be hard for Evan Anderson. I mean, he's probably got the easiest road if he can beat out Kalia Davis and they keep five, but I still think it's going to be tough. I think he's going to have a year potentially on a practice squad before he has a chance to develop. I know he's changing his body, but I just don't see it. I think this team is just too darn deep. Now, an injury could definitely change the outlook for one of those players, but I think just looking at it at face value right now, I don't think any UDFA makes this roster.
I would probably agree with that. Evan Anderson, they paid some decent money to, so I think that he has a shot. And of course, you remember me telling you that Larry Kruger said that Tanner Mordecai is going to be the backup quarterback next season. So we'll see. Hey, Lou's helping us out here with that 1986 draft. Kevin Fagan, Tom Rathman, Steve Wallace, Larry Roberts, John Taylor. Dang, how did I forget John Taylor? Don Griffin, Charles Haley, Tim McKeyer. Good grief. That is the best draft in 49ers history. Those guys were great. I mean, Larry Roberts, he never really became that guy that he was supposed to be. Kevin Fagan wasn't a star, but he was a key defensive player on at least two Super Bowl teams. Rathman's a legend. John Taylor, great. Steve Wallace, he was starting one of the starting tackles on three Super Bowl teams. Don Griffin and Tim McKeyer, when they were at their best, were two of the best corners in the NFL. Great, great players. And of course, Charles Haley. If George Seifert didn't talk Carmen Policy into trading him to the Cowboys, the 49ers win at least two more Super Bowls. But that was an elite draft. Man, dang, Walsh was great. There was another comment here, or a question from Mr. Corey. Would y'all trade next year's first and Debo for Tristan Wirfs? Ooh. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if Tampa Bay would be interested in that move. I think that the 49ers would love to get a player like Tristan Wirfs. You play him at right tackle, presumably, until Trent Williams retired. But how much are you going to have to pay for Tristan Wirfs? That's a lot to give up, Debo Samuel and a first-round pick. I don't think it would happen, mainly because I don't think Tampa Bay would go for it either. But, I mean, anytime you could add a legitimate right tackle and you feel like you can upgrade your team, I think you have to at least think about it. And that's an intriguing prospect right there.
But after what Chris Forster said, I always want to call him Forrester because that's what it looks like. And I know somebody with the last name Forrester, but he does pronounce it Forster, right?
Yeah, Forster, yeah.
Yeah, you were the first one to tell me that. Now I've heard Matt Barrows and Matt Mayoko pronounce it that way. So, I mean, we heard what he said that the 49ers would prefer to draft players who touch the ball and then later go after offensive linemen, believing that they can bring them up, coach them up. And so either Chris is super confident in his ability, or that's just how he believes, and that's what he does.
Yeah, I think he is confident that they can develop players to be solid starters in the NFL. I don't think he even believes he can, you know, turn them into elite starters, but he thinks that they can get enough. And that's what the key of their philosophy is, that they find the level that is good enough offensive line play, so that way they don't have to pay these guys extreme amount of money, and they can continue to have players on the outside that can make plays. His examples are pretty interesting. The fact that, yeah, your right tackle is really great and he made a great block and your skill player is average and he got 5 yards, or your right tackle's, you know, missed his block, but you got the ball to Debo and he took it to the house for 60. It does have some merit to their philosophy. The problem is, at what point does it catch you? And that's what they're all trying to figure out. You have to figure out how to skimp somewhere at some position. You can't go around the league and find a team that's completely stacked at every single position. That doesn't happen in the salary cap era. It's just not possible. So what is your philosophy is the key. And their philosophy seems to be, from what Chris Forster said, and I know he's trying to make it sound like it's his own philosophy, and maybe it's not completely, but it is definitely the team's philosophy just by the way they've went about it. And I believe they've actually took it to more of an extreme since when Kyle Shanahan first got to San Francisco, when he had John Benton as his offensive line coach, because now they've started skimping on center as well. Before, they would at least pay centers. They would pay Weston Richburg. They would pay Alex Mack. Well, now they're not paying anybody. I mean, Brendel's not getting paid anything. So I think this is their philosophy. They believe that they can go out there with Trent Williams, who's the greatest, and four other dudes that are, they believe, going to be pretty decent, and that they can win football games. And as far as running the football, it's been very successful. The problem is, in key situations in passing game and blocking, it hasn't always worked out, especially when they're trying to come back and they've got the full pressure coming from the defense. That's when they've been in a little bit of a world of hurt. So where exactly is that level? I don't know, but this is the philosophy they're going with.
Yeah, it's been those big games in the postseason against good defensive lines where they've seen problems. So Ronnie Montoya asked, is this Danny Gray and Drake Jackson's last year to shine for the Niners? And so I want to use that question to ask you this. Finish this sentence. One player who fans will be surprised gets cut will be who?
Ronnie Bell. I think that a lot of people are extremely high on him. And, you know, when you sent over the question, I took a deep dive and I was really struggling to find players that are going to get cut. I just think with the amount of competition at wide receiver, that there's a likelihood that Ronnie Bell could get cut because he doesn't have the dynamic ability on special teams. Mm-hmm. You look at Chris Conley, he was effective in special teams last year down the stretch, especially the Super Bowl. When you look at Danny Gray's rookie season, he was successful in special teams as a gunner, and he has return ability, and he still has elite speed. I think that gives him a little bit of a heads up. Now, the questions with Danny Gray and Ronnie Bell are going to come down to who runs better routes, who gets open, who doesn't make mistakes. But I think last year, it wasn't like Ronnie Bell had such a successful season that we can say he's a shoo-in to make this team. The fact he was inactive down the stretch means he wasn't as successful as they wanted him to be. So that's who I think it's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if he made the team either, but I do think it would surprise people if Ronnie Bell doesn't make this roster.
Is Danny Gray making it? Mr. Corey says yes.
I think right now it comes down to him and Chris Conley. And I think his elite speed and what I saw from training camp, think he's in the mix. And I think it's easier to get Chris Conley to the practice squad because he's a veteran and he doesn't have to pass through waivers, so he can go there. So I think Danny Gray would make the initial 53 between him and Ronnie Bell and Chris Conley. And then you put Conley, maybe Trent Taylor on the practice squad, and you can potentially move those guys up and down. If you keep six wide receivers, you're keeping two wide receivers on the practice squad. If you're keeping five, you're keeping three on the practice squad. So, that's how I think it would play out.
Yeah, next week we're going to have Matt Maiocco, and we can ask him, will they keep six receivers or will they keep five? They kind of flip-flop at times, but if they keep six, then you're talking Ayuk, Debo, Juwan, Pearsall, Cowing, and either Bell or Gray, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's the hard part is Conley, Bell, and Gray are competing for one spot, and that's not including Trent Taylor or anybody else, but those three guys, and you've got Danny Graves, a third-round pick, elite speed. Conley was significant for the 49ers down the stretch, and then Ronnie Bell, he had some good moments last year. I think his special teams was lacking a little bit more than I think we're all hoping. If he would have had a good showing as a return guy last year, I think we would be talking about this in reverse, that Ronnie Bell is the one that has the better chance to make the team. But when you go on special teams prowess, those other two are just ahead of him.
Yeah, that's kind of the way that I feel as well. And then as far as Drake Jackson, I think that he has his hands full. I think that Robert Beale Jr. is, I think that he's going to pass Drake Jackson on the depth chart. And Mr. Corey said he believes Drake Jackson is getting cut.
I don't think Drake Jackson's going to get cut. In fact, just looking at his injury and his rehab right now, I'm starting to believe he's not going to be ready for training camp, or at least not ready to contribute. I won't be shocked if the 49ers don't keep him on the PUP list through the 53-man roster date and then bring him back at some point. It's a way to keep him on the roster without having to rush him back or potentially lose him to another football team. So I do think Robert Beale's ahead, and I think that they have a pretty good amount of players on the practice squad with guys they could put like Austin Bryant or Alex Barrett that could come in and fill in if they needed to. And I think that's how he's going to start. I think Drake Jackson ends up on PUP to start the season.
Yeah, and his scar does look nasty for sure. Well, hey, that's all that I have. Do you have anything else before we take off?
No, that's it. I mean, there's so much that's going on. You know, the 49ers mini camp it's come and gone, and now it's going to be time to prepare for training camp. There's going to be a lot of interesting conversations, just like we talked about with the wide receiver position. But next week, everyone needs to come and listen to us have a conversation with Matt Miocco, because there are going to be some fun conversations involved in that. And I'm excited to get into that. And just, you know, like, let's ask about that wide receiver question. I'm curious to see his perspective on it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to talk to Matt. We'll talk some old school 49ers. We'll talk some Roger Craig, Hall of Fame kind of stuff. And of course, the present day 49ers. So everybody have a great rest of your week. Thanks so much for checking us out, for hanging out with us. Please rate, review, subscribe, like, all those things, and tell all your friends and your family.
This episode brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. You guys truly are the best. I'll catch you guys on the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.